On Sunday nights for the last several weeks, we've been discussing a series of lessons entitled Daily Pursuits, and this is number 5, the 5th thing on our list of things that we need to give daily attention to, things that are worth pursuing every single day of our lives. And our text is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if any has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 18, that's where we're going to be spending most of our time tonight, and that won't be much time. This is going to be a short lesson. I've got some things that I want us to observe on the subject of, first of all, forbearance, as Paul says, bearing with one another, and forgiveness, forgiving one another. Have you ever been done bad by somebody? It would be a rare person indeed who has never been done bad, as we say, by someone. In fact, if we were to dwell on it, most of us could get pretty low in our feelings, you know, going back and thinking about all of the things that have happened and all of the ways that people have taken advantage of us and all of the ways that we've been shortchanged by this person or that person, and all of the bad things that have been said about us without any grounds, and all of the ways that we've been treated that we didn't deserve to be treated. You know, sound familiar? We've all got a big, long list we could construct if we wanted to go back and rehash all of those things. God's Word encourages us, especially in regard to mistreatments, sins against us, offenses that have come our way. God's Word encourages us with 2 things. Number 1, for those who will not repent, we are to forbear. For those who will repent, we are to forgive. Let's face it, there are some folks who are never going to repent. There are some folks who will never ever come to us and say, look, I know I've done you bad and I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. Or I said some things about you and you heard about them and everybody knows it and I'm just so humiliated because that was so wrong and I want you to forgive me. There are some folks who will never ever say that. And I believe that's where the forbearance comes in. That's the first thing that Paul mentions here in the connection with these thoughts that I want to share with you. Forbearance. Bearing with. Suffering long. Patiently enduring. Forbearing. We learn forbearance from the one who teaches us the greatest thing. That, of course, is God. In fact, the Apostle Paul uses the word forbearance as he describes 3 of God's riches. In writing to the Jews, he says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It seems that the Jews had the idea that because God was so free with His forbearance and His kindness and His goodness and His long-suffering and His patience to them, that maybe the way they'd been living wasn't so bad after all. When you examine the context, that seems to be Paul's point. It's not that God approves of what you've been doing, it's just that He's so patient and He's bearing with you. Even though you haven't changed, you need to change, you need to do better, but He's giving you more time to come around. That can be one of the hardest things to do. To patiently bear with someone because they haven't tried to straighten things out. I heard about an elderly gentleman who was pretty much on his deathbed, and he was just tormented in his heart over a disagreement he had had with an old friend, and that disagreement had turned into a quarrel that stretched over several years and had yet to be resolved. And that seemed to be the heaviest weight on his mind as he realized he was probably about to die. And so he sent for that estranged friend. And he made overtures of peace to him, and they shook hands. And everything was okay. And as the friend turned to go, the old fellow roused up just enough to say, "Now, if I get over this, this quarrel still stands." Some folks are just that way. Forbearance is what we are to practice in our lives. In the place of bitterness, in the place of grudge holding, forbearance, bearing with, patiently enduring. You see, the fact is, you can't forgive someone if they don't repent. And so, in that respect, you could say that forbearance is an attitude of the willingness to forgive, even to the person who hasn't sought forgiveness. The Christian should always be willing to forgive, even if the offender never asked for the forgiveness. Now, the second thing is forgiveness, obviously. And we're going to look at this parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. In fact, if you'll turn there and follow along with me, I'd like to read it to you. And then I want to share about four things with you, four very important things about the subject of forgiveness. "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payments to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him that debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused, and he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." That's always been a fascinating story to me. It's not hard to understand. It's a perfect illustration of what many times turns out to be typical human nature. The message is clear, though. And it's the same message that Jesus had delivered to His disciples over and over and over. If you want to be forgiven, you've got to forgive. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. The spirit of forgiveness is often difficult to manifest. Now, we talked about some of the difficulty of forbearance, how that some folks can do you so bad and it doesn't seem to bother them. They don't seem to have any kind of remorse and never will ask for forgiveness. And that's tough. That's a tough situation to be in, and it's hard to keep the right attitude toward someone like that. But you know, there are times when forgiveness is very difficult. There are times, even when someone comes to us and says, "Look, I've done you wrong. Please forgive me." It may be because of the magnitude of the offense. It may be because of the broad circle of people who've been harmed because of that person's doings with you. It may be because of the shame and the humiliation that has been brought upon you in an undeserved way through something that someone has said or done. But forgiveness, the spirit of forgiveness, must be in the heart of a child of God. Now, from this parable and the surrounding context, I've got four things that I want to share with you. Number one, we're going to say it like this: forgiveness, true forgiveness. As Jesus said, forgiveness from the heart sets no limits. You see what Peter said there: "Lord, how many times have I got to forgive my brother if he comes and sins against me and then comes back and asks for forgiveness? Seven times?" Peter's being very generous. Some have suggested that the number seven was a perfect number, and therefore Peter was being very gracious in using that number. Some had the idea that five times was the number of times that one could be forgiven, because when you go back to Amos chapter 1, that entire chapter is taken up with a discussion that God has with the surrounding nations around His people, and God enumerates five different nations, and He says, "For three times I'll forgive you, but not four." And so some had said, maybe three times was the best. Some said, let's go further than God was willing to go with those folks, and let's say four. Peter was going to seven. Seven times, Lord, is that enough? Surely that would be good. What Jesus said has nothing whatsoever to do with the number 490, 70 times seven. What Jesus was saying was that forgiveness sets no limits. Many of you have children. Many of you still have small children with you. Think back now when that kid was born. You brought him home from the hospital. Did you walk into his room there as he lay in the crib and say, "Now, Junior, I'll tell you something right now. Let's get this cleared up from the very beginning. Seven times is all I'm going to forgive you if you do wrong." Why, that'd be just totally ridiculous, wouldn't it? Suppose you said, "Now, 490 times is all you've got, bud. More than that, and that's it." Even that, we'd say, as a parent to a child, would be just utterly unthinkable. The fact is, we don't draw a line in forgiving the offenses of our children. The fact is, we shouldn't draw a line in forgiving the offenses of anyone who repents. Forgiveness sets no limits. Number two, let me suggest that forgetful forgiveness is an indicator of some other problems. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. again, this ties in with what we discussed this morning and what Brother Northern discussed in his Sunday school class. It comes along at the end of that list of Christian graces. And here's what it says. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. We could put it in the terms of the parable that Jesus told there in Matthew 18. And we could say that servant number one had forgotten that he had been forgiven that huge debt that he owed. But put it together with that list of very important Christian qualities, those things that Peter says we need to add to our lives. And then he says, and if these things are yours and they abound, if you grow in these things, if you keep these and get better at them, they'll help you along the way. Put all of that together and we come up with the fact that an unforgiving spirit is an indicator that there are some deficiencies in some other things that are very, very important. And if we lack the perfection of those and the practice of those Christian graces, as we call them, we're not going to be forgiving either. In fact, we've even forgotten how much God has forgiven us. Forgetful forgiveness is an indicator of some other major problems. Number three, the forgiven remembers how good forgiveness feels. Or he should. Obviously, servant number one didn't remember how good that forgiveness felt when he went out to find servant number two. It's hard to imagine the attitude that was in that man's heart who had been forgiven that tremendous debt when he goes out and finds someone who by comparison owes him just a tiny bit and literally grabs him and begins to choke him and say, pay me what you owe. No money? Throw you into debtor's prison. The one who has been truly forgiven remembers how good it feels. That's what Paul said, in effect, there in verse 13 of Colossians 3 that we read just a few minutes ago. Even as the Lord has forgiven you, forgive one another. The companion passage to that from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. The next time it's hard for you to forgive someone who has offended you but has come back and said, look, I'm sorry, I've done it again, and please forgive me. And you start thinking about, well, you know, this is about the 10th time. And you know, if I forgive you now, wait a minute. Think back to all of the forgiveness that you have enjoyed. Think back to all of the sins that you've committed. Think back to the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, which John literally describes as continuously cleansing. Think back to that. Remember how good forgiveness feels. And then, number four, the forgiven looks for opportunities to forgive others. I worded that exactly that way very carefully because that's exactly what I want us to understand. Those who have been forgiven look actively, pursue opportunities to forgive. What did this man do? He'd been forgiven in an immeasurable way, and he went out and found someone that he could throw into debtor's prison. He's just the opposite of what the Lord wants us to do. Spread it around. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Pass it on. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Those who have been forgiven should be joyously finding opportunities to show forgiveness to others. That's the true spirit of forgiveness. As Jesus says, forgiven from your heart. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we're going to talk about that ingredient which Paul says binds everything together. The glue, the cement, I've heard it described as, that holds it all together. That's love. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, why not obey the gospel? If you are a Christian but have become unfaithful, why not acknowledge your waywardness and seek to be restored? God is waiting with open arms to receive you, if you'll but respond to His Master's invitation as we stand in